So we're reviewing the Sefer Shishanim. We're holding the first chapter, the first Mishnah. Alba Shishanim Him. There are four heads to the year. We discussed that the word Rosh means an end point, either beginning or end. Dechad ben Nisan Rosh Hashanah Lamlachim. One to the month of Nisan is the beginning of the year for the Jewish kings. So that if someone became a king a day before the first of Nisan, when the first of Nisan comes, we start counting year number two, and Chazal instituted a set year for the king so that there wouldn't be room for doubt. You wouldn't have to remember when did he become king, and then you would sometimes mess up. Did he become king on Chaf Beis or Chaf Gimel? Did they finish the inauguration before Shkia or after Shkia? When was it that he became king? Oh, so it's easy. You just know that if he became king before Nisan, when the first of Nisan comes, we start another year. And we said the halachic implications are, if you write a document, Shtar HaMukdam is Pasul. If you write a document and you write a date on it that is before the true date, so what you're really saying is that you could be Toref Meshubadim, you could take from properties that are Meshuabad, that are, you have a lien on the property. We know that intrinsic to every shtar there's a lien. And you can collect that lien from the date of the document. And that's not true. Meaning if you took out a loan tonight. So tonight, all your property has an intrinsic lien. We say every loan, automatically there's a lien. So there's shibud. Now if I write on the document
money,
that you...
money loan?
Correct. And if I write in the document that you took the loan last week, then the properties you had last week already have a lien. But that's not fair, because the person who purchased the properties between last week and this week, he's not responsible to this loan, really. So Chazal said the shtar is pasul. You can't collect with the shtar altogether. So this is to protect from this problem. And in order to make things very organized, Chazal said that the beginning of the year is from the first of the month of Nisan. And we discussed, is this Doraita, is this Rabbanan? The Gemara seems to quote Psukim from Melachim, but maybe it's a Gilui Milta. So we said first of the month of Nisan is the beginning. Maybe really this concept exists from the Torah, but we only discover it in the beginning of Melachim. Vilar Galim, and first of the month of Nisan is the beginning of the Regalim. We discussed that there is a prohibition in our Parsha, Lo Ta'achir L'Shalemo. When you take a vow, last week's Parsha, when you take a vow, you have to bring the Korban on time. Once the first regel comes, the first Pesach, Shavuot, or Sukkot, and you did not bring the Korban, you're over Aseh. Once three regalim go by, according to one Tana, you're over on the Lav. And Rabbi Shimon holds, you have to pass all of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot in that order. Meaning if you took a vow before Pesach, so then after Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, you're over on Bal Tacher. If you took a vow after Pesach, so Shavuos will pass, Sukkot will pass, you were not over. Only after now Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot pass, only then are you aveil. They have to be in that order, and we derive it from Psukim.
Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, or the other Tana.
I think the halacha is three regalim, even not kesivam, but I'm not sure. I don't remember. Because this here we have a stam mishnah like Rabbi Shimon. Yeah, a normal neder. He says, no. He says, I will bring a korban olah. It doesn't say when. So he has to do it as soon as possible. And the second the first regal comes and he didn't do it, he was aver on an asay.
Oh, okay.
But in order to be aver on the lot asay, we need three kesidran, according to Rabbi Shimon. Be'chad be'elul, one to the month of Elul, Rosh Hashanah le'masar be'imah. We discussed that there's a mitzvah to take one out of every 10 animals, masar be'imah, and each year has its own count. When's the cutoff date? The cutoff date, according to the Tana Kama, is one to the month of El.
Is every year an obligation for a maser?
Provided you have enough animals.
Rabbi
Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Umrim, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Shimon, Stam Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, they say Bechad B'Tishrei. The year begins for maser Beima, one in the month of Tishrei. The Mishnah continues. Bechad B'Tishrei, one to the month of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the year Lashanim, for the years, for the count of the non-Jewish kings. That's why, according to some, the month of Tishrei is called Yerach HaEitanim. Eitanim means the ancient ones. In ancient time, everyone, before the Torah was given, everyone counted the year by Tishrei. That's when the world was created. So everyone knew the beginning of the year was Tishrei. So the non-Jewish kings, they go by the ancient count. They don't have a special month of Nisan. So their year begins one to the month of Tishrei. And we discussed that Mishum Shlom Malchut, Chazal instituted to appease the nation we're under, that we use their dates to write our legal documents, our gittin, etc.
Even when we're like in our land?
No, when we're under there, right. Vela shmitin, and that's when the shmita begins, doraisa. Vela yovlot, and that's when yovel begins, technically. Certain aspects of yovel don't begin till Yom Kippur, but that's why we blow a shofar at the end of Yom Kippur, commemoration of the ancient yovel. But in other aspects, it begins on Rosh Hashanah. La netiya, when it comes to planting a young sapling. Netiya is a thing, you just planted a tree, you take a young tree and you plant it in the ground. So then we say, for the dinim of Olah, the first 3 years you may not eat the fruit. Doesn't matter whether it gives fruit or not, the first 3 years you cannot eat the fruit. When does the next year begin? If you planted it before Rosh Hashanah, so Rosh Hashanah is the year begins. We said it has to be absorbed in the ground, it has to take root, klita, and that takes 2 weeks. Plus you must have 1 month in the previous year in order for it to count as a year. So it turns out you need 2 weeks plus 1 month. That's 44 days. If you planted it 45 days before Rosh Hashanah, you have 2 weeks for it to take root. That's two b'av. You have 2 weeks for it to take root. 30 days count as a year. And then on Rosh Hashanah, we start the year number two. So when do the years change for the planting of trees? On the first of Tishrei. Vela yerakot, and for vegetables, which are chayv and ma'aser drabanan, and also for ma'aser doraisa. And then when the tree grows up, after 3 years, it's no longer a netiya in this respect. It is now etz, an ilan. So then, Be'echad b'shvat Rosh Hashanah la'ilan k'divrei Bet Shammai. One to the month of Shvat is the beginning of the year for trees, according to Bet Shammai. So after the third year, the fourth year only ends in the first of Shvat, according to Bet Shammai. Netilel umrim b'chamisha sabot, the Academy of Hillel holds on the 15th of the month, which is how we rule. Bet Iled, the halacha is always going to be like them, and we always see in the Mishnah Bet Shammai's opinion before Bet Iled's. The fourth year begins on Rosh Hashanah and ends the next year in Tu Bishvat. Correct. Right. Mishnah Bet. Barba Afrakim Olam Nidon. We discussed that the word Perek is a joint, and Perek could mean, we call it chapter, but really Perek could mean the point where they connect or the point where they divide, which is the same thing. This is the end point of this chapter. This is the beginning point of that chapter, and the joint is where they meet. So, ba'arba'a parakim olam nidon. At four intervals, we'll say. That's a loose translation. The world gets judged. Ba'pesach ala tvua. On Pesach, we get judged how the grains are going to grow. We derive this from the fact that on Pesach, we have a mitzvah of bringing the omer, an offering of grain. And this is so that Hashem will bless our grains. Ba'atzeret, on Shavuos, when we begin bringing our fruits of Bikurim, that's why it is called Yom HaBikurim, we are judged al perot ha'ilan regarding the fruits of the tree. B'Rosh Hashanah, in the first of Tishrei, and we pointed out that the Mishnah calls that Rosh Hashanah the way we do. When we say Rosh Hashanah, we mean the first of Tishrei. Kol be'olam, all those that have come to the world of Rin Lefanav, pass before Hashem. Kivnei Maron, like young sheep. Shenemaz, the Pasuk says, Hayutzer, Yachad libam, God who fashioned them, He sees all their hearts at once. And that's what we said, there are two types of judgment on Rosh Hashanah night. One, in 1 second, God sees all of us. Ba'achat sekira, with one look, God judges all of us. That's Hayotzer Yachad libam. And then Amevin et kol ma'aseihem, God also looks at each one individually and looks over his actions. And there's an aspect where we're judged all at once, and there's an aspect where each of us gets his own private session. Uvechag and on Sukkot, which is the day of festivities, that's why it's called Chag. Chag means to go dance in a circle. So on Sukkot, the holiday where we have the most festivities, Nidonin alamayim, we get judged for water, because we have Alachalam Shem Sinai, that on Sukkot we pour water, we do Nisuch HaMayim, and Chazal said, if we do Nisuch HaMayim, we have a special mitzvah. That must mean that we're getting judged for the water on Sukkot. Mishnah Gimel. Al Shisha Chodashim Ashluchim Yotzin. We said that when Betin made Kiddush HaChodesh based upon the testimony of witnesses, so Betin used to send out messengers to the Jews living in Chutz La'aretz to tell them whether Rosh Chodesh, the first of the month, was after the 29th, or did that month have 30 days and then we have the first of the next month, so the people in Chutz La'aretz need to know. So they'd send out messengers for 6 months. Al Nisan for the month of Nisan mipnei Pesach, so that they know when Pesach falls out. Al Av mipnei Tanit for an Av, they did it so that people would know when the fast of Tisha B'Av falls out. Al Elul mipnei Rosh Hashanah, Elul they'd send out so that they know when Rosh Hashanah is. And we said the sheet of Rashi and the Rabbeinu Vadya Mibartanur is that the Jews in Chutz Lartz would always celebrate Rosh Hashanah 30 days after Rosh Chodesh Elul. This is a very special thing when it comes to statistics. That statistically, only two or three times in history was Elul a month of 30 days. Always it was 29 days. But you'll ask any statistician, they'll explain to you that when you go to look at an investment, there's a game that they're playing. They're telling you, in the last 3 years, this investment went up and up and up. That tells you nothing about what it'll do tomorrow. That tells you the last 3 years it went up. What will it do tomorrow? Maybe it'll go down. That doesn't prove anything. You look at the graph previously, that doesn't prove where the graph is going. So Chazal said, yeah, but until now, almost always, we said there were three exceptions, that the year was, Elul was 29 days. So for some reason, Chazal decided that the past is a proof on the future, which is an interesting cool. Right? I mean, if you look at the dollar, up till 2 months ago, it was going down, down, down. So you'd say, sell all your dollars. And then we know now it's going up, up, up. But where's it going? We'll see where it goes. That doesn't mean you could know where it'll go tomorrow. So that's the same thing here. It's an interesting kind of rov. So the Jews in Chutz Lartz would make their kiddush and make their blessings and say the special tefillot and blow shofar with the bracha. Do everything on Rosh Hashanah when they had no idea. Is today Rosh Hashanah or tomorrow Rosh Hashanah? The Gemara records a story that one of the Amoraim came to Bavel and everyone's eating. And he says, it's very interesting that you're eating because today's Yom Kippur. They commemorated Yom Kippur a day earlier. And he says, Basim Tavshila de Bavlai. The Yoma, he says, today when everyone in Israel is keeping Yom Kippur, you guys are all having good food. So we see there were exceptions. But in general, the Rashi and the Rabbeinu Vadenbartnur Shita is, they went on Rov. And that's why our Mishnah says, the month of Elul, they had to know whether when that month began. Once they knew that, then working off of that, they'd celebrate Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Al Tishrei, they'd send out messengers for the month of Tishrei, Mnei Takanat HaMoadot, to make sure they got their Yomim Tovim right, so they shouldn't spend Yom Kippur thinking, are we doing it right or wrong? So as far as the Shluchim got, they went. We'd send them after Rosh Hashanah, they'd travel as far as they can get by Yom Kippur, and then they'd continue till Sukkot. Yeah?
So if you find out the time in Elul, if you determine in Elul when is going to be Rosh Hashanah,
you determine when was the first of Elul. And then you count 29 days and you assume the next day is Rosh Hashanah. That's an assumption. You don't know. You know that in the past, 99.99% of the times, you'd be right. What does that tell you about today? That's like saying, if I flip the coin 99 times and it turns out heads, that means there's a 99% chance it'll turn out heads now. Simply understood, we'd say no. Now there's a 50-50 chance. Until now it was like this. That doesn't prove that now there's a 99% chance. So that deserves its own discussion. So to be sure, so that people didn't feel bad, they would send out shluchim. Right. Yeah.
Pay them.
Do they pay them? Probably. Yeah. The courts would probably pay them. Who would go for free? Yeah.
לא היה שום חילוק של חודש מלא וחודש חסר בזמנים האלה, נכון? לא שודש יש חסר, לא שכמו שהם יודעים, זה חודש חסר, זה חודש מלא, זה...
Simply understood. They went by the witnesses. And being that a lunar month is 29 and a half days, whatever the witnesses said. And there's more to it, but the guys said they don't want to go past 45 minutes, so I can't go into it. That's a big machloket Rambam, Geonim, Rabbeinu Hananel. If you want, you could see a summary of it in the Rabbeinu Hananel, in the Barbanel, and the Pasuk, Achol Shazelachem, Pashat Bo. We'll continue. Al Kislev Mipnei Chanukah, and for Kislev they send out messengers so that people knew when to celebrate Chanukah. Val Adar Mipnei Purim. So we see this is a very late Mishnah. This is a Mishnah after Chanukah. So it's the middle of Beit Sheni, this Mishnah. Uchshaya Beit HaMikdash Kayam. So now we see this Mishnah is talking even after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And when the Beit HaMikdash was still around, Yotzi Naf Aliyah Mipnei Pesach Katan, then messengers would go out for ear in order to tell us when is Pesach Katan, so people who wanted to come and celebrate Pesach Katan would. Al Shnei Chodashim Mechallelin Shabbat. We know that if people see the new moon, then the Torah tells us they should come testify before the courts, and Mideoraita, for any month, they would be permitted to be Mechal Shabbos. Chazal said they should only be Mechalel Shabbat for 2 months. Now, what is this new moon that they see? So we'll quickly go over what we discussed. We will picture the solar system as we would from Earth, as people did in the time of the Mishnah. And that is that we picture it as though we're in the northern hemisphere. So everything in the northern hemisphere moves from the east to the west as the Earth rotates. When we here on Earth look at the sun, in the morning it rises in the east, at night it sets in the west. When we look at the moon in the beginning of the night, it rises in the east somewhere and sets in the west. When we look at any star in the sky, look at a star now, look at it in 2 hours, you'll see it moved westward because we are rotating. So everything looks like it's moving from east to west. That's the way the world looks to us. So we will discuss it as though everything is moving around us, even though we know that we are rotating and we're also going in our... we're doing our own orbit around the sun. So we will disregard that for now. For the sake of simplicity, we will discuss things as though everything revolves around us from our vantage point here on Earth. So when we wake up in the morning, let's say it's 6 o'clock in the morning, we'll discuss it as though all month long, 6 o'clock in the morning is sunrise, 6 o'clock at night is sunset. We'll make believe that's the case. So we look outside at 6 o'clock in the morning, the sun rose to the east. Middle of the day, 12 o'clock, it's on top. At night, 6 o'clock, the sun sets. Now, the sun set in the west, let's say we're talking the 15th of the month. So when I look to the east, at sunset, just after the sun set, I will see the moon, a whole moon, rise on the eastern hemisphere. The sun just set, the moon rises. Now, we're making believe that the sun is revolving around the earth, right? Going over us on top and beneath us on bottom. That's what we're making believe. So, when the moon rises on the eastern hemisphere, on the 15th of the month at 6 o'clock at night, the same time the sun sets. Now, at the same time that the moon is rotating above us across the sky to set at 6 o'clock in the morning on the western side, the sun is rotating beneath us. Again, we're mentioning things this way. The sun is going beneath us to rise on the eastern hemisphere, 6 o'clock the next morning, right? The only difference is that the sun goes slightly quicker than the moon. The time it takes the sun to do a full circle all around us, in a 24-hour period, the sun goes 40 minutes quicker than the moon. Every 24-hour period, the sun is advancing 40 minutes on the moon. So if at the 15th of the month, the sun set at 6 o'clock and the moon rose, and all night long the moon went across the sky and set, and the sun rose at 6 o'clock. So the next night, the sun will set at 6, but the moon will only rise at 6:40. You'll see almost the whole moon rising at 6:40. It's going across the sky. By the end of the night, at about 5:10, remember it lost 20 minutes all night, right? 12 hours of the night it loses 20 minutes, 12 hours of the day it loses 20 minutes. So by day, throughout the night it lost 20 minutes. The next morning at 5 o'clock, before the moon has a chance to set at the western hemisphere, the sun rises and you can't see the moon. Right? Okay, so technically what happens, we're oversimplifying things, because it's not that the sun rises at 5:20 the next morning, it's that the moon doesn't make it to set by 6. The moon takes, in order to cross what the sun does in 12 hours to cross our skyline, the moon takes 12 hours and 40 minutes. It's again, if we're describing things, 12 hours and 20 minutes, right. So every day the moon lags another 40 minutes. So let's say if at the 15th the moon rose at 6 and set at 6, so then the next night the moon will rise at 6:40 and will set at 7. But it won't get a chance to set because at 6 o'clock in the morning the sun rose. So the second half of the month, you don't see the moon set. The 15th, you see it rise and set. The 16th, you see it rise 40 minutes after sunset, and then you never get to see it set because the sun will rise before it sets. Now, the next night, the 17th, the moon will rise at 7:20 at night, and it won't get to set because the next morning, the moon won't get to set. The moon rises at 7:20, right? The next night, the moon rises at 8 o'clock at night, and the next morning at 6 o'clock, it hasn't yet made it across the skyline. It's still higher up when the sun's going to rise. It's only going to set at 8 o'clock or 8:20 in the morning. You won't see it then. So we go through the month and we advance that way until we reach the 28th of the month. The 28th of the month, the moon rises On the Eastern Hemisphere, the moon rises, let's say, at 20 to 5 in the morning. Right? 20 to 5 or 5 o'clock, let's say. And then it rises. It has 1 hour before the sun catches up to it. We hit the 29th of the month. And the moon rises somewhere around 5:20. And 40 minutes later, the sun catches up. Now, we have a situation. Let's look at the Eastern Hemisphere. The moon rose. We have a small slither of the eastern side of the moon. And that side of the moon rose at 5:20. It advances in the sky. And 40 minutes later, at 6 o'clock, the sun rises. Now, all day long, they're playing catch-up. They're crossing the skyline, and the sun is slowly catching up to the moon. At some point, the sun crosses the moon, either during the day or during the night. The minute when the sun crosses the moon is called Vimolad, the birth of the new moon. When we declare the Molad, the birth of the new moon, what we are declaring is the second when the sun crosses the moon, from this perspective. You guys with me? Now, if at the end of the month what we saw was the eastern slither of the moon, so then after the sun crosses the moon, what we're going to see is the western slither of the moon. So let's imagine a situation where the moon rose at 5:50. The moon rose at 5:50 in the morning, and the sun rose directly after it at 6. You didn't see that moon rise. You might have seen it if there were clouds. You saw that little slither of the moon rise. Now, the moon's going across the hemisphere. At 8 o'clock in the morning, the sun crosses the moon. Come 6 o'clock at night, the sun is going to set, and the moon is only half hour behind it. So that's the new moon. What we're looking for, when we want witnesses about the new moon, what they're telling us is, tonight, after Shkia, after we saw the sunset, we saw on the western hemisphere, when we looked out to the west, we saw a small slither of the moon, and then we saw it set after the sun. That's what the witnesses are telling us. When they tell us that, we know it's a new moon. That night is the beginning of the month, and the next morning is the first of the next month. They come into Beis Din the next morning and testify before us, and we will declare, okay, today is Rosh Chodesh, today is the first of the month. They might see it on the night between the 29th and the 30th, and it could be that they won't see it then, either because it hasn't yet happened, or because it's not yet visible, it's too close to the sun, and then they'll see it on the night between the 30th and the first of the next month. So depending on when they see that new moon, that's the testimony that we're waiting for in Beit Din. And that's what our Mishnah is discussing, Mishnah Daled, Al Shnei Chodashim Chalin Ta Shabbat, that the rabbis instituted that for 2 months alone, we let the witnesses desecrate Shabbos in order to come before us and testify that they saw the new moon. Al Nisan Val Tishrei, for Nisan and Tishrei alone, Shebehen Ashluchin Yotzin Nesuya, because then it was critical for us to get the knowledge as early as possible, because we're going to send out messengers to Syria. Uven mitaknin tamodot, and that's when we establish the Yamim Tovim. Nisan, that's what's going to define when Pesach and Shavuot is. And Tishrei defines all of the Yamim Tovim of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. Uchshaya Bet HaMikdash Kayam, and when the Bet HaMikdash was still erect, Mechalelina Fal Kulan, we would do Chilul Shabbat for the sake of testifying about all the months, because we want to ensure that the korban of Rosh Chodesh is brought at its proper time. We have a special korban of Rosh Chodesh, korban chatat. We say it in the korban musaf. That's an added korban for Rosh Chodesh, which brings atonement to Am Yisrael. Right? We say it in the tfilav musaf. So we want that korban to be brought in its correct time. So Chazal said, you should come and testify for every month, so long as the Beit HaMikdash was still around.
So when the Beit HaMikdash is not Kayam, what would be there would be a problem with they couldn't testify? Couldn't testify any other month?
They would testify, but they wouldn't do it at the expense of Shabbat. If you could show up to the court without being Mechalel Shabbat, no problem. Yeah. Mishnahi. So what happens if the sun sets and you see a beautiful moon out there? So you're telling yourself, why should I be Mechalel Shabbat? Why should I even go out to the courts? Let's say the new moon is on a Tuesday. Why should I go to Beit Din? I'm sure they saw it. I'm sure everyone saw it. I have to schlep out from Tzfat to the Beit Din. Tells us the Mishnah, Ben Shenireh Ba'alil, whether the new moon was seen with clarity, Ben Shelo Nireh Ba'alil, or it was not seen with clarity, Mechalelin Alav Ta Shabbat, we desecrate Shabbos to testify either in the time of the Beit HaMikdash for all the months, or after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed for the 2 months of Nisan and Tishrei. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi Bar Tachlafta tells us, Im nireva alil, his opinion is, if the new moon was seen clearly, en mechalelin alav et haShabbat, we do not desecrate Shabbos to testify about the new moon, we could assume that the Beit Din Sud. Maaseh, it happened, Shavru Yotel Ma'arba'im Zug, that more than 40 pairs passed, Ve'ikvan Rabbi Akiva Belud, and Rabbi Akiva, who was living in the border city of Lud, you guys know that from Gittin, Mikfar Ludin Lud, right? Lud is a border city of Israel, not now. So Rabbi Akiva detained, at some point Rabbi Akiva said enough, Shalchulo, Shalachlo Rabban Gamliel, so Rabban Gamliel, who was the Nasi, sent word to Rabbi Akiva, Imakeva Teta Rabbim, if you're going to detain the masses, Ninseta Machshila Natid Lavo, you're going to cause them to err in the future. They'll say, why do I have to go travel to Rabban Gamliel? Why should I go testify? Anyways, Rabbi Akiva is going to stop me on the road and tell me, don't go, too many people came already. So you can't do that. If a person's going, tell him, good, you should go. Yeah?
There's a question. Why is this Doch of the Shabbat?
The Torah says so.
The Siyut Nefesh says that.
The Torah says so. The Torah says that you should say b'mo'ado, that the months have been their set time, and whenever the Torah says b'mo'ado, we have a tradition that means even at the expense of Shabbos. Abu b'no shirut ha-chodesh mishna zayin, if a father and son saw the new moon, and we discussed that the word chodesh could mean month, and the word chodesh could mean the moon, Abu b'no, right? Abu b'no, father and a son, shira'u et ha-chodesh, they saw the new moon, yelechu, they should go to testify that they saw it. Lo shemitztofin zeim zeh, not that we'll accept them both as a pair of witnesses, ela she'im yipasel echad mehem, but rather, if one of them gets disqualified, as we're talking to him, we discover that he gambles, or some other reason that we will disqualify him as a witness, yitztaref ha-shinim acher, so then, nonetheless, we'll be able to take the other one and combine him with another witness for testimony about the new moon. So even though both of them together will not be able to testify, but we never know which one will be accepted and which one won't. So maybe when we question them, one of them is going to say something that will disqualify him.
So just to clarify on this point, our very whole assumption is that perhaps there might be a chance that if you send them both together, that if one of them is found to be...
Right.
I don't know, they will never as a pair be able to
Correct.
Testify.
Correct.
So only if... It's a very peculiar... So you'll be able to litzeref with somebody else. And they need to have a tent, but they're not, they didn't see it both together.
So I will be... Right? So here we see that the tziruf for Edut HaChodesh doesn't have to be like other Eduyot. In other cases of testimony, the witnesses have to stand together. Here you see that for this testimony, they don't have to be together.
Logically,
that's a... If we have time, we'll discuss it. But you guys said we don't, so I have to continue. Rabbi Shimon Omer, I'm going by what you said. I offered you hours, you said no. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says, and who's Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah? What can I do? And now it deserves discussion. The whole concept of Kiddush HaChodesh deserves a long discussion about its importance and that all of Judaism really revolves around it. But we don't have time. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Whenever we have Stam Rabbi Shimon, that's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He says, Avu Vnom V'chol HaKrovin K'sherin Ne'edut HaChodesh. He says, from the fact that when Hashem commanded Moshe the laws of the new moon, he told Moshe and Aaron, HaChodesh Hazel Lachem, for you, we derive just like you two are brothers, I would accept your testimony. So too, father and a son are kosher, are acceptable, all relatives are acceptable for this testimony, the testimony of the new moon. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi Bar Tachlafta taught us, Maaseh B'Tuvia Rofe. It happened with Tuvia the doctor, Shera'at HaChodesh B'Yerushalayim, he saw the new moon in Jerusalem, Hu Uvno Ve'Avdo Meshuchal. He and his son, and an Eved Kenani that he had freed. So now this Eved Kenani is a full-fledged ger, as we discussed when we learned it. So he's a ger, but in the past he was an Eved Kenani. So they're on their way to the Sanhedrin, they're on their way to the court, and they pass by the court of Kohanim. And the Kohanim were always very picky about Yichus. So that when the Kohanim bump into them, they're going with Rabbi Shimon's ruling that will accept family members, but they're saying, we'll never accept someone who doesn't have good yichos. So the Kohanim said, gee, we'd be willing to accept testimony from you and your son, but we wouldn't be willing to accept testimony from this ger. And it's interesting that we call the ger an Eved. He is no longer an Eved. He's a former Eved. He used to be an Eved. And this has relevance to other places in Halacha. If one writes something to his servant, if If in the contract where he frees his Eved, he calls him an Eved, so there's a discussion in Halacha, does that mean that he really does not mean to free him? Or can we call someone who was formerly an Eved, can we still call him an Eved? So in this Mishnah it seems to say that we will call him an Eved, or at least they called him an Eved. Ukshibau, Hakotev nechasav lavdo. You could look it up, it's a Mishnah in Peah, in the very beginning, in the first parak of Peah. Oh, it seems like they were passing. It doesn't seem like they had to. Ukshibau lifnei betin. And when they finally came to the official court, kiblu otovet avdo, so they accepted him and his former slave, the ger who was an Evet Kanani, ufaslot no, but they wouldn't accept the son. So here we have a maaseh rav that we don't rule like Rabbi Shimon, and we said maaseh rav teaches us halacha, even when it goes with the minority opinion, it is more powerful than a rov. Mishnachet, elu en apsulin, the following people are disqualified from testifying for Kiddush HaChodesh, mid Rabbanan. We know that if someone regularly does a sin midoraita, so then he cannot testify. And those of you, none of you were at the Parsha Shir earlier, we had a very major discussion about that for those when you're getting married, about how you choose witnesses and what the witnesses should do. So the following people are disqualified from testifying for the Kiddush HaChodesh. Ham sachek bekuvia. If someone plays dice, he plays their form of dice was they take the knuckles of the animals and they'd make dice. And we said that when you gamble, you don't really have in mind you might lose. So if you gamble and then you lose and you pay money or you win and you accept the other guy's money, technically what you're doing is taking gezel midrabbanan. Gezel d'oraisa is when you grab something from someone. Here you didn't grab it from him. He thinks he has to give it to you. Halachically, he does not have to give it to you. Asmachta lo kanya. The fact that we just say, well, if I win this money, well, you didn't really think you'd lose, otherwise you wouldn't enter it. So we say that speaking things in the air isn't really a form of a kinyan. We didn't really make an agreement. An agreement is when you sign a paper, when you do a handshake, when you give something over. When we just say, you know what, if Rav Bigun walks through that door next, I'll give you $100. I don't really think I'm going to lose my $100. That's not my thought. So when Rav Bigun does walk through the door and I give you the $100, even though you didn't take it from me, that's gezel drabanan, because technically I'm not obligated to give it. Gambling, that's a halachic question. Umalvei beribit. I said many details in my example. If you notice, there were many details. You can't just say any gambling. I didn't say any gambling. I gave a specific example. Umarvei, because maybe if you put the money on the table, that's a different halacha. Maybe if you give it to a third party. I said a case where we didn't. I said when you verbalize it and you don't do an action, so then you don't have in mind. What would be if you give it to a third party? So that needs its own discussion. Umalvei beribit, and someone who gives a loan with ribis, and we discussed that there are forms of ribis drabanan. Umafrichei yonim, and people who bet on birds that are flying. My bird's going to get there first, or your bird. It's a form of betting. Sochei shvit, and people who do business with Shemitah products, and Shemitah b'zman hazeh is drabanan. Vavadim, and slaves, they're pasul midoraita. And then the Mishnah tells us a rule. Zeaklal, the following is the rule. Kol edut shena isha ksherala, any testimony that we would not accept from a woman, we would also not accept from Navadim. And we said this really teaches us a leniency, that there are forms of testimony which we would accept from a woman, such as to testify about someone who died, and that we would also accept from Navadim. Mishnah 10. If someone saw the new moon, but he himself cannot travel, so even though it's Shabbos, and really we have a biblical prohibition, Mechamer, to guide a donkey, but here, where we need him for testimony, we're allowed to do Chilul Shabbos. So this includes even taking him on a donkey. Afilu bamita, even if he's lying in bed and he cannot get out of bed, so we'll take him in his bed. Vim tzodeleim, and if there are troublemakers on the way who want to ambush them, lochim biadamaklot, so they take along sticks to deal with him. Vimaita derche choka, but if it's a long journey, lochim biadam izonot, so then they take food along so they can make it till there. Shal malach laila veyom, that for a distance of a 24-hour journey, mechalin tashabbat viyotzin leidu tachodesh, we would desecrate Shabbos and go out to testify over the new moon. Shenemaz, the verse says, Ele mo'adei Adonai shetikru otam b'mo'adam. These are the set times of Hashem that you should call them at their set time. And whenever we have the term b'mo'ado or b'mo'adam, it means even at the expense of Shabbat. And here we have finished the review of the first chapter. Perek Bet, the second chapter. Imina makirin oto, if the Bezdin in Israel does not know this fellow, Mishachin acherimo, then the Bezdin of his town would send someone along with him, whom they do know, lehaido, to testify, to verify that this person is trustworthy. Barishona, initially, hayu mekablin edut achodesh mikol adam. The courts would accept testimony about the new moon from any person who came in, because we assume that every Jew is a God-fearing, righteous Jew, unless proven otherwise. Mishakit kilu aminim, from the time that the Kutim tried to mess us up, and we discussed the specific instance where they had an interest in messing up the courts, hitkinush lo yum kablin ela mina makirim. So then they instituted that they would only accept testimony from people whom they knew. Fine, okay. Mishnah Bet, Barishona, initially Ayumasin Masuot, they would lift their torches to send signals to the people in Chutzlaretz that it is a new month. Mishikilkilu HaKutim, from the time that the Kutim destroyed this procession because they put up torches on the wrong night, Hitkinu Sheyushluchim Yotzin, then our sages at the institute that they'd send messengers from the Betim. Ketzad Ayumasin Masuot, Ke'ezetzad, how would they set up these torches? Mevin klunzot shel eris arukin. They'd bring long poles of cedar wood. Vikanim and sticks. Vatzei shemen and oil wood. Vinoret shel pishtan and little slithers of flax. Vichorech b'mshicha and he wraps it all up. Ve'ole l'rosh har and he goes to the mountaintop. Matzit ben et ha'ur and he lights them. Umelich umevi and he shakes them back and forth. Umale umorid and he shakes them up and down. Ad shuret chavrosh u'sechen b'rosh har ha'shini. Till he sees his friend doing the same thing on the next mountain. V'chen b'rosh har ha'shishi. And so too in the third mountain. Umayin ayu masin masuot. And what was the order? From where did they light up these torches? Me'al mishcha, from harazesim l'saltiva, to the mountain of Sartiva. Umi Sartiva le Grufina, and from Sartiva to the place called Grufina. Umi Grufina le Chavran, and from Grufina to the place called Chavran. Umi Chavran le Bet Biltin. Umi Bet Biltin, and from the place of Bet Biltin, lo zazu misham, they wouldn't leave that mountaintop, ela molich umevi umale umorid, but rather he would wave his torch back and forth and up and down, ad shaya roe kol ha'golah lefanav kimdurat esh, till he saw the Jews in Chutzlaretz, all of them would go up to the rooftops and they'd all wave their torches till they would look out from Israel to the Golus and they'd see way out to Babylon a whole fire. It would look like all Babylon went up on flames because everyone would go to the rooftop and shake their torch. Mishnah, hey, Chatzel Gdola Hayta v'Yerushalayim, they instituted a special big courtyard that was fenced in Jerusalem. Uvet Yazek Hayta Nikret, and it was called Beit Yazek. Ulesham kol ha'edim mitkantzim, and all the witnesses knew that that was where they'd have to gather. Uvetin botkin tam sham, and the betin would check them out over there in that courtyard. Usudot gdolot usim lahim, and they'd make them great feasts. Bishvil shiyurginim lavo, so that they'd be accustomed to come. They want to encourage people to come, so they'd make them good food. Barishona lo ayuzizim isham kol ha'yom. Initially, the people who came on Shabbos. So we said that someone who leaves their Tchum Shabbos, their 2,000 amas outside their city, even if they enter a new city, they could only walk within that, their Dalet Amos, or in this instance, they could walk within the courtyard. So initially, these people would be on Shabbos, they'd be stuck in the courtyard. That's why they made this fenced-in yard, so at least they could walk all around the yard. But people don't like being fenced in. Hitkin Rabban Gamliel Azaken, the elder Rabban Gamliel, Hillel Azaken's grandson, instituted that they could walk the whole city and 2,000 amas outside the city in each direction as though they were living in that city. Not only these were given this leniency, but even a midwife who comes on Shabbos to help deliver a child, we let her travel throughout the city as though she were a native of the city. Same thing, someone who comes to save people from a massive fire. Umina gais, or from a threatening army. Umina nahar, or from an overflowing river. Umina mapolet, or from an avalanche. Being that they came for the sake of the city, we give them the halacha as though they are residents of the city and they could walk throughout the city and 2,000 amas outside the city. The yeshdem alpaim amal chol ruach, and they're permitted to travel 2,000 amah in each direction. Ketzad bodekin et ha'edin, Mishnah Vav. The Mishnah asks, how do we question, how do we check out the witnesses? Zug shebarishon bodekin oto rishon. First pair to come gets checked first. Umachnisin tagadol shevem, we bring in the bigger one, vomimlo, and we tell him, Emo, please tell us, ketzad reite et alvana, how did you see the moon? Lifnei hachama o leachar hachama? Was it facing the moon or was it turning away from the moon? So we said facing the moon is, we view the moon as though the moon is a person hunched over, person bent over in davening. So where is his face? If he's facing the sun, so that never happens. We said you never have the dark side of the moon facing the sun. So we ask him, is it facing the sun? Meaning, is it the slither is on the opposite side, as though it's a man bent over and his face is facing the sun, or is it to the back, as though he's bent over and his back is to the sun? Litzfonah lidrumah, was the moon to the north or south of the sun where it set? Kamaya gavoah, how high was it from the horizon? Ulaina yanoteh, and in which direction was it bent? Vechamaya rachav, and how wide was it? And they knew, based upon the mathematical equations, what the correct answer to all these questions were. And they wanted to see if the witness was telling the truth. When you have the moon, the little bit of the moon, you could have this in this way or that way. If he says it was facing the moon, which means the dark side of the moon was towards the sun on the western side or towards the sunset, then we know he hasn't said anything. He must have seen something in the clouds. He thought he saw the moon. He didn't see the moon. After they questioned the first witness, then they'd question the second witness. They'd bring him in and check him out. If we find that what they say matches, then we substantiate their testimony and we will declare it a new month. And all the other pairs, we asked them just basic questions. Not that we really needed them, but rather they should not leave disappointed. They traveled all the way to the high court. They want to meet the chief rabbi of Israel. They came down here to testify, so we don't want them to leave disappointed. So we give them a small interview, just so that they should feel accomplished. So that they would be accustomed to come. They shouldn't feel like they came for nothing. This way, they have a good reason to come next time. When they hear the testimony and they accept it, so the head of the Beis Din declares the month is hereby sanctified. And everyone else answers after him, it is sanctified, it is sanctified. And this we derive from the Pasuk, that the Pasuk says Mikra'ei Kodesh twice. And from there we derive that they have to say twice Mikra'ei Kodesh. And the fact that the Rosh Beis Din has to say Mikudash, we derive from the fact that Hashem told Moshe, from here we derive that Moshe said the set times of Hashem. From here we derive that the head of the Beis Din, who's in place of Moshe, as we discussed last week, that the Nasi is replacing Moshe Rabbeinu. That's by definition, the Rambam writes, the job of the Nasi. So he too has to declare Mekudash, and everyone replies, Mekudash, Mekudash. Ben shenireh bizmano, ben shenon nireh bizmano, mekadshin oto. Tana Kama holds, regardless of whether the first of the month is after 29 days or after 30 days, the Beis Din has to sanctify it and declare it's a new month. Rabbi Lazar bar Tzadok omer, Rabbi Lazar bar Tzadok says not that way. Im lo nireh bizmano, if the new moon was not seen on the night of the 29th, so then what happens? By default, we have 30 days to the previous month. So then, en mekadshin oto. So then, what do you need the courts for? You don't have a month longer than 30 days. For sure tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. So I don't need Beis Din to declare that the new month is holy, that tonight is Rosh Chodesh. Then they do not have to sanctify it. Shekvar kiddushu shamayim, for in heaven they've already sanctified and declared that the new month begins on that day. So that's where we've reached. That's what we did in the last week. Perek Aleph and most of Perek Bet.